live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Brr, it's cold down here, and I bet you it's colder up in the north. I haven't been watching the news much, but in any event, I know that down here on the Third Coast, we're having quite an incredible winter. Our discussion today, and I hope you all stay with us because we want to hear from you, and I'm going to give out the number, 888-815-9756. We're going to be talking about change because 2011 is all about change, and we're going to go into a little bit of discussion about a book that I just finished reading that's just become a number one bestseller by Colette Baron-Reid. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's probably one of the most phenomenal intuitives and spiritual counselors out there. Her book, The Map, just came out about a week ago and ran up to the bestseller list. And it is absolutely a phenomenal read. And I did write a review about it in my column on The Examiner. And if you want to go to my homepage, www.susaneking.com, you can click on the upper right-hand corner and read a little bit about it. Because this is a must-read book for everybody in today's world. Because as everybody knows, things are changing. Was really very interesting, and I want to share a little story with you. Please give us a call, because we want to know a little bit about some of the changes you might be going through, and we want to see if we might be able to help guide you into making the change into something more positive than sometimes we tend to think changes are. In any event, picked up the book a week ago Saturday, and it was a dreary day, just very cold, very gray, and I was kind of feeling pretty much in the same frame of mind. So decided to take the day off, curled up with my iPad, turned on the electric blanket, and started to read this book. And it was really quite amazing because what this book really entails is taking us through the changes in the landscapes of our lives. And from any period of time, we know where we are. We can be in a period of a landscape of joy and excitement. We can be in a frozen landscape. We can be in the desert. I mean, there are all kinds of places that we can find ourselves in. And as I proceeded to go through the book, I started to really connect with some of these places that she brings out in the map. And I started to relate to all of them, and I started to really begin to envision, you know, where I was at particular times of my life, how I ended up in some of these particular landscapes, and also, too, how I got out of them. And it was really kind of a nifty thing because I woke up Monday morning and I was feeling absolutely terrific. I woke up with the concept that, all right, today's going to be a new adventure. And, you know, I just said, let's see what adventures are going to be thrown at us today and let's see what we're going to do with them. Well, little did I know that by noon, probably the biggest adventure of the last year and a half was going to present itself when one of the sources of my primary income decided to advise us that they were closing down the project. So given 2 weeks' notice, you know, and having read this book, this was kind of the nifty thing about the whole thing, is I had read the book, and I decided, okay, you know, what landscape do I want to jump into? Do I want to jump into the doom and gloom? Or do I want to jump into the one which would allow me to look at possible opportunities and perhaps move me in a direction I really wanted to go, but maybe hadn't quite gotten there yet? So over the course of a couple of days, I kind of let my spirit guide me, and I kind of allowed myself to just be in the situation and not get angry and not feel victimized and not feel shunted in any way. And as the day started to progress, I started to have ideas of new opportunities and started to pursue some of those new opportunities. And, really very excited about what the future can be. And this is really what we need to talk about, is how we can take situations in our life and really make the best of them and put ourselves in the proper landscape to deal with any of these situations. Interestingly enough, another thing happened during the course of the week that was kind of surprising. And I had gotten a call from someone I hadn't heard from in quite some time. And at the end of the conversation, a comment was brought up about a situation that I wasn't aware of. But it affected me in a way that there was something that I really had put in my brain that I wanted to do. And I had kind of envisioned a particular outcome. That outcome did not happen. And as it turned out, had I done what I wanted to do, as the story unfolded, that it probably could have affected my reputation in various different ways. So, you know, the truth always comes out, and we have to allow ourselves to be in the moment and to be in the spirit, and also to be in the right landscape, as Colette mentions. It really is a phenomenal read, and I really cannot recommend it highly enough. But I do want to hear from y'all. Give me a call, because I think today is a day that I want to engage in some conversation with everybody, and especially if you're going through something that is problematic and needs some guidance and some help in working through and getting yourself put, you know, into a place where you can deal with it in a more positive light. The number here is 888-815-9756. You know, one of the beauties of the concept behind this book is that we can transition ourselves from one landscape to the other based on some of the exercises that Colette puts forth in matters of seconds. I mean, we can make choices for ourselves. We can, and these choices can be changed, and we can change the landscape that we're living in, and you know, very, very, very easily, and it is really quite a fascinating read. So no wonder it's made the bestsellers list. So, you know, over the course of the last several weeks, really since the first of the year, we've been talking about a lot of different things. We've been talking about finding our truth, finding our purpose. We have been talking about how time affects what we do. We also have talked about how the words that we use affect how we think and how we feel. And, you know, the concept behind this particular methodology is such that we can also put ourselves into a visual dream whereby we can transform ourselves from one place to the other. So if we are feeling perhaps that we are in, you know, the desert and there's no water and there's no sustenance and we feel this way, that we can go back and review parts of our lives and remember when we were in a field of dreams and where we may have you know, felt like we were lying in poppy fields and just feeling very relaxed and dreamy and being able to plant different seeds of intent of what we want to do. So these are pretty amazing things, and I'd love to, you know, share some of it with you all personally if you want to give us a call. 888-815-9756. One of the things that we've seen both here in the United States, and obviously I'm sure everybody's kind of watching what's going on over in Egypt, is that change is everywhere. We have seen so much dramatic change in our economic structure. We have seen, dramatic changes in political structures of other countries. And we have seen changes in our own economic situations or our own relationship situations and our own work situations. And a lot of people have, you know, really had to dig deep and decide, you know, what it is they really want to do with their lives and what really is their purpose. And a lot of people have started new businesses. I'm one. And, you know, we just have to move through, all of these situations with a little bit of spirit and a little bit of guts and a little bit of integrity. You know, I mentioned about a month ago when I did my first show solo, which is now, this is my second solo show, that one of the things that I was afraid of and one of my big fears was actually doing these shows by myself. So, you know, over the first year and a half of doing the show, I had guests every week. And if I didn't have a guest, I just did reruns. And that was my way of getting of dealing with my particular fear. I know that there's no reason why I can't do these shows, and I know that I love to do these shows, and I particularly like it when people call in, so I'm going to ask you to do that. But, you know, breaking through the barriers of some of the fears that we have is really the things that we have to work through in our lives. And you know, if we have a fear of not knowing how to earn a living, or we have a fear of choosing a partner, or we have a fear of all kinds of things, that these fears pretty much prevent us from reaching our goals and achieving our goals. So we have to sometimes put ourselves into some of these positions where we find ourselves dealing with fear head on. A lot of people have fear of flying, and one of the best solutions to that is to get on a plane and go fly and try to do it in a very relaxed environment. So one of the things that I have learned over the last few years is I've been really working very hard on really getting in touch with my spirit and really learning as much as I can so that I can begin to impart some of this knowledge that I have and the experience that I have. Trust that I have been a serial entrepreneur for 30 years. And the business I'm in right now is my third. I have spent maybe about 5 years working for somebody in the course of my career. I know what is best for me. I have been in the barrenness of lands, and I have been in some nice, beautiful castles throughout the course of my career. So I've been there. There is nothing I don't think that I have done that everybody else has not experienced in their lifetime. And that's what makes living so incredible. It's the lessons that we learn from the particular landscape that we may be living in. And, you know, one of the things that is imparted in this book is the whole idea that we are there for a reason, and as long as we understand that we're there to learn a lesson and that we always have the magic within ourselves to change our landscape, that we can really achieve anything that we want to achieve. So if you haven't gotten it and you haven't read the book, get it. If you have read the book, give me a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts and some of the things that may have come out of it for you personally. The truth that we all hold inside of ourselves is probably the most important thing that we can all bring to our particular table. One of the things that I remember someone said to me, when I was really trying to determine where it was I wanted to go, is that I had an empty plate and there was a buffet of all this wonderful food, and I had the opportunity to pick and choose what it was I wanted to do. And it was really very, very soon after that where I realized that this is indeed, you know, the truth. And sometimes we have to let go of these full plates that we have and really be able to hold an empty plate in our hand and be able to really look at what opportunities are really open to us. So if you need some help, you need some guidance, we're here. We'd like to help. We'd like to be of service. The number is 888-815-9756. You know, over the course of the last few weeks, we've had a lot of callers call in. So come on, give me a break. Love to hear from you. It's not easy to talk to yourself. And while I know that there are people out there, it really is a whole lot easier for us to share some of the comments and some of the concepts and ideas with you directly. So, again, I hope you will give us a call. When I was reading the book, one of the things that really popped out at me that was, I think, even more interesting, as I've shared with the audience that I'm a professional genealogist. I've done that for a living off pretty much for the last 25 years. And the interesting thing about the study of our ancestors is that it really helps us learn the truth about ourselves. And I remember the first time that I started to really feel a new spiritual growth in me when I first started in my research back in 1987. But, you know, the interesting thing was when I was reading the map, I also began to see that it was very, very possible to really map out the landscapes that my ancestors and my family might have been in at particular times of their lives. And by doing so, I can get a much better understanding of who they were and why they were who they were. And, you know, I really am beginning to incorporate some of these concepts into my work over the last week. And some of it has been pretty phenomenal in being able to identify and literally find records and be able to look at those records within a totally different light than perhaps I did prior to reading this book. We all, you know, and what is also really amazing to me too, and if you haven't worked on your genealogy, you really should, is how you can really, really attached to the spirit of these people of these people that came before you. And by really attaching to those spirits and really looking at their lives, not just from records and where they lived and when they lived and what their birthday was and the places, but to look at it from the bigger picture of what was going on in the world and, you know, perhaps really what their landscape they were living in at any particular time. Obviously, you can look at a census record and you can see if, you know, that someone was living on a farm. You could see that they were surrounded by family members. You can see that they had a number of children, which, yeah, they did at that time, you know, to help farm the lands. And you can look at the details and determine, based on the time frame that you're looking at, where they were in their particular landscape. You could tell if they'd lost a spouse. Over a course of a period of time, going through records, you can notice whether children disappear. When you're going through records, you can see that there may have been a number of children that may have been lost during the course of perhaps the flu epidemic of 1918. Because you can look at the census record in 1910 and then look at the census record in 1920, and you can actually see that there are a number of children that, that may no longer be with the family who would have been of age to still be living at home. And you can begin to incorporate, you know, the sorrow and the pain that they must have felt at the, for losing children at a very young age. I mean, there's just a wealth of information that comes out of doing research, you know. And then there's the mysteries and the surprises and, you know, the things that, that you may have felt and about a family member but didn't know all the facts. And by understanding the facts, you may understand a little bit more about the lives, because, you know, what happens generationally to generationally, and every spiritualist will talk about the importance of ancestry in the process of learning about self, is that certain tendencies, certain situations are really passed down from generation to generation. And you will see that in a lot of cases, it skips generationally. So, for example, you may have a generation or several generations of alcoholics in your family, and then you have someone that tries to go in and break the cycle, and then the next generation again, you may find some more alcoholics. But what is really, really very interesting about this, and we're going to be doing a little bit more of this in the coming weeks and in some workshops, or really coming months. It's not going to happen in weeks because we're just trying to get it started. But how we can use certain healing modalities to break some of these cycles of our ancestral lineage, because they live at our core, and sometimes we don't even know about it. And we don't even have a clue that deep down inside there is something that's holding us back, and we literally don't know what it is. And once we start to understand, you know, this generational skips, the lives of the people going back several generations, we can begin to see why people are the way they are. We can see why our parents were who they were, and then why we are who we are. And it becomes a really incredible picture that, that we can paint, not only of ourselves, but of the spirits of our parents and our ancestors. So very, very strong, very, very powerful. And Colette will mention this in the book too, because it, it really is a very, very important process of really digging into our own spiritual growth, is to really know the spirit of the people that came before us. So I'm here. I'd like to take your calls. 888-815-9756. We do have a caller, and we will thank you. And thank you, Susan, online, too. And that's not me. Hey, Julie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. They told me your name was Susan, and that's okay.
I'm very interested. I have a 98-and-a-half-year-old grandmother who has a phenomenal memory, and I actually spent the day with her yesterday going through picture books recently. You know, she's getting ready to die. She's been putting together picture books, and I've been recording her stories because she has amazing memories from the 1900s, you know, all through, obviously, today. And I saw something on last night about genealogy networking. So I'm very interested in your website and how that works and, you know, how I can take all this information that I'm helping her to put together about her history, because she's really the only person in the family that, like, remembers all those things back to, you know, the immigration of my family from the 1800s.
That's phenomenal. You know, Julie, you're doing the right thing, and that's first thing is to get those interviews down. Most of us don't have the opportunity, or we get involved in genealogy much later, or after people are deceased, that really know the stories. Have you done any bit of the research to document some of the stories that she's given you to date, or is that really where you want to get started?
I've done that. This is the funny thing. It's like I've felt this feeling about my grandmother and her for many years about that I should record it and write a book or something. I don't know really exactly what. But for the longest time, she was resistant to the idea of her life being in a book. But as she's starting to slow down and she's not leaving the house as much, I think that she realizes that she has something that a lot of people do not have. And as far as documentation on stories, that's why I'm trying to work with her, because she has an entire picture graph from the daguerreotype pictures of in the 1800s of my great-grandmother with a 400-pound grouper on Catalina Island, you know, all the way to today. But it's a matter of I don't even know how to start preserving information. She has actually a genealogy chart that she's put together, and she's done a good job herself of keeping these records, and she has them in a fairly organized fashion. There's just so much and so many pictures and so many stories. And so, like I said, I bought the recorder, and I've just started sitting down with her and letting her talk, because that seems to bring out the most memory from her. But I don't know what else to do besides, you know, doing that. You know
okay.
I mean?
Well, that's the first thing to do. There is no question about getting these stories documented. The next thing you might want to think about doing is you know, scanning these pictures in and
okay.
you know, digitizing them, because the whole field of genealogy over the last 10 years really has gone digital. And
right.
The other thing that you probably want to do, and there are several ways to approach this, and there are several places that you can go, and some are free, some are not free, some are partially free, is to really begin to take the information that she has and begin to put it in a family tree.
Right, online, correct?
You can do it online, and there are, like I said, there are three primary places to do it, and I'm going to give you a little bit of rundown on each
okay.
one of them, just so that you have an idea of what they offer. Probably the primary source, and the other thing that you might be interested in, there's a series starting this Friday called Who Do You Think You Are? It's a Friday night. I believe it's 8 o'clock Eastern. And it's they started it last year, where they're taking celebrities on the journey of finding their past. And it's really an incredible series that Lisa Kudrow started. That's something I just want to plant in everybody's brain. It's being sponsored by Ancestry.com. And Ancestry.com
okay.
has you can join for free and put your data on their website.
Uh-huh.
They do have a subscription service, and One of the benefits of their subscription service, and I'm going to be perfectly blunt, is that when you're beginning to build your tree, they have tons and tons and tons of records online that you can begin to attach to each of these people, and it can be done and sourced and documented very, very easily. I recommend it, especially when you're first getting started. Additionally to that, there is a site called genie.com, and it also allows you to build a tree and source your documentation, but it does not link directly to the sources as Ancestry does.
You mean source documentation? Do you mean like...
well, whether a birth record or death record or census record.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, one of the things that... you want to be able to document it if you know, for example, you have pictures of a family and they were living, let's say, in the 1880s,
right,
that you can find the 1880 census with these families in it, and you can actually see what they were doing, where they were born, who the family units were. Sometimes, you know, the families would all live next to each other in the census records, and you actually get to look at the documents and to verify some of the facts that she's giving you.
How interesting. It might even bring more information for her.
Oh, well,
I mean,
it will. It will.
She's very excited about all of it.
It will bring not only a lot more information, it'll give you some, probably some questions that you can ask her. The other thing that I have found, too, that genie.com, you can actually build your trees and source your documents, but what genie.com does is they allow you to merge your trees so that you can actually begin to collaborate and merge the information that you have with other people who are researching your same family. So it's more of a collaborative effort, whereas Ancestry.com is really more of a research effort. Does that make sense?
How interesting. So, like, let's say I'm researching and then there's somebody in a long line of my tree that's researching, and then our trees connect, kind of thing?
Exactly. And what happens, and this is, you know, one of the beauties of it. In fact, I just solved a case not too long ago, the last week, because of a connection with a totally different line of the family. But by making that connection, they were able to shed some light on a particular client's lineage that we were having a hard time finding. And then it gave us a clue. Once we found that clue, it was just clear sailing from there on. So, you know, genealogy is both a private and a very personal thing, but it's also a very collaborative hobby. And, you know, one of the things that I get so excited about because, you know, with it is the ability to, you know, really jump into the spirit of these people and how they lived. And, you know, you can almost write a story just by going through the records. And it's and if that's what you really want to do, then you really need to not only do what you're doing with your grandmother, but you need to also begin to document it. And the other way to do it is to buy a genealogy software program. And I don't know if you're on the IBM or a Mac or whatever, but Ancestry does offer a package called Family Tree Maker that automatically links to their site so that you can use the records that are on their site plus records from other sites and other sources that you may find during your Google search, you know, that you can actually link and build the story from there.
Right. Well, she already has a pretty in-depth family tree, so I guess it would be about inputting it and then finding documentation, like you said, to back it up.
Exactly. And then you can attach the pictures to the people.
Uh-huh.
So that,
oh, wow.
You know.
Okay.
So that, you know, I don't know about the rest of the audience out there, Julie, but I know that I have boxes of pictures of family members that nobody knows who they are. And so while you have this opportunity...
My grandma's the only one who knows, and that's why I'm going through this process with her, because when she dies, so does the information.
So what you need to do is go through those pictures, you know, identify them, get them scanned in, you know, put it, you know, you can upload the pictures into the genealogy software. Oh, I am so glad you called. You get me to talk about the things I want to talk about. and, you know, then you can actually begin to link those pictures to the appropriate people so that if you're looking at a particular family line, you will see the picture, whether, you know, if it's somebody that's in one line versus another line or in both lines. It's really pretty. The whole world of genealogy has changed. In fact, I got very excited because Ancestry just launched their new iPad version of their link to their site last night, and I happened to get on it, and it's slicker than you'd want to do. We want to think, but however you decide to do it, and I'm not going to promote one site over the other because that's they all have their purposes. And, I suggest everybody to use all the sites, because they all serve a different purpose. The other thing, and you may have already recognized this, Julie, but the other thing is when you are interviewing older members of the family, when you can't get them to talk, present them with a untruth. And, you know, if you know that, if you know what a fact is and you want them to talk about it, say it in the wrong way. So just say, hey, I understand, you know, that so-and-so married so-and-so. And, tell me a little bit about that. Well, you know, if she's not talking about that, say, well, I understand that so-and-so married so-and-so, and that person is not the right person. You see what I'm saying?
And then they'll correct you and go on and on.
They will correct you and go on and on and on and on.
That is so my grandma. she's really awesome. Her passion for the genealogy has just kind of made... I'm unemployed right now, so I have the time. And so I never really had the time before. And, you know, she's at that stage where she's actually like, okay, you can come over and spend time with me. I am a little lonely. You know, she's so dang independent.
Yeah.
She's still a Spitfire at 98. I mean, who would think, you know?
I have a great aunt who's 98. And, you know, her comment when I first started genealogy was, why do you want to know? Why do you want to deal with dead people? Deal with living people. So, you know, you're lucky that she's talking, because my family didn't talk much. So we had to do most of our digging through the records, and 30 years ago, so many of the records are not online as they are today. So, what took me probably 10, 15 years, you can do in a matter of a couple hours today.
Yeah, it's a very exciting thing. Like I said, all these pieces came together yesterday. I was with my grandmother doing the cataloging. I saw online last night a picture of a social website that talked about genealogy, and I was like, wow, that's interesting, and it showed the older pictures. And then,
well, you know, this is a synchronicity for
you. And then you came on.
That everything's coming together, bing, bing, bing. And, the other thing, and I do serve as a consultant, Julie, and help people get started, so that is something. If you do run into some issues or questions or things like that, we are available. And one of the things I'm hoping to do very soon is put together what I'm calling some genealogy circles. So people who are just getting started, we can get together on a monthly basis perhaps and talk about different things and what we're what you're finding and areas that you might need some help with, and do it in a group session. So. And doing it in a virtual setting. So these are things that we're all we are working on to try to launch here in the, you know, at least by the beginning of the second quarter of 2011. But recording them is really, really important.
And genealogy things. And
now, how are you recording? Julie, how are you recording them? Recording her?
On a digital brand new recorder, you know, I can just put it right into my computer and the file goes immediately into a I think, an MP3 file.
Okay, that's perfect. Because, you know, you can, with some of these genealogy software programs, you can also link all kinds of media files. So,
I was going to ask, so can you can I take a copy of, newspaper articles that she has and scan them into the computer and attach those as well?
Absolutely. Any scanned image
files?
That you
can you attach audio files?
You can attach audio files, video files, anything.
Very cool.
So, okay, I mean, you can, and then some of the software programs and the Family Tree Maker, for example, allows you to also create a book and a multimedia presentation based on the data that you enter and the input so that you can put together a whole story, and you can create a PDF file and send it to your other family members, and, you know, you don't have to actually create and print books anymore. You can, send them
a
digital
copy.
How
interesting. And what was that one called?
It's called Family Tree Maker. It's by Ancestry.com. You can get it. I think their site is www.familytreemaker.com.
Okay.
And they have both an IBM version and a Mac version.
Very interesting. Cool.
And are you on IBM or Mac?
I don't even really know what the answer to that question would be.
okay. All right. So
I'm not on an Apple, so.
Okay. That's a Mac as an Apple, so. There are a lot of software programs out there, but I tend to use Family Tree Maker myself, and I've gone through all of them, and for the work that I do and wanting to connect the records and the images from the records and that kind of thing, this one seems to work the best for me.
Interesting. Well, I think it sounds really exciting to get it in digital form where I can, handle it instead of, all these papers and pictures that are just, looming and looking at me and making me feel overwhelmed.
Yep, and you know, the real interesting thing and the way I would approach it in my own experience is that, you know, I would, as you're sorting through the pictures, you know, try to sort them by family. And then as you begin to enter in the data into the software program, then, you know, you pick up the pictures, you get them scanned in, you get them attached, and you just kind of work it as you would really any project where you just try to keep it all together. And
right.
It's a lot of fun, everybody. I can't tell you how much fun it is. And it's a lot more fun today than it was when I started. When I started, all we had were microfilm machines. So I can't tell you how many drawers and filing cabinets of copies of microfilm that I have that I'm getting ready to throw out because I've now taken and gotten everything digitally off the site. But and it's amazing how fast you can build your family back.
Yeah. That you really do have a history that goes all the way back to Europe.
Yeah. And, you know, truthfully, to all of you out there, if you have not taken the time to sit down and talk to your elderly family members like Julie has done, whether you intend to do this project in the future or not, you really, really do need to do that. I'm going to give everybody a little tip. I mean, most of us have computers today. There is a free program called Audacity. It's an audio recording program that you can load on both either an IBM or an Apple. And I have used it on occasion when I'm interviewing people by phone where I use the phone speaker. I turn on the recorder and I, talk and have a conversation because I can find that when I'm interviewing people for a research project that I can listen and not have to be taking notes. So the recording is very, very powerful. And you can then create MP3 files and at least save some of this information for posterity, because there is some information that will never, ever be found without some of the clues that the stories of these people and their sense and their feelings and, you know, their experiences, you know, really are lost forever. I mean, we can try to rebuild it as best we can, but it's nothing like the real deal. Julie, anything else?
No, I think you've given me enough work probably for at least a year.
No, I think I've given you enough work for your lifetime.
Your help and your contact information is on the BBS network. I can find you through there.
Yes, my website is www.susaneking.com.
Okay.
And all our contact information is there. Yep. And, you know, what we love to do is, as you can tell from this little conversation, is we love to help people get started. That was one of the things that I did for about 23 years is started a network for those with Jewish roots, actually, that to help people learn and get started in getting, you know, in doing their Jewish genealogy. And now I'm out on my own and trying to help people, no matter what their ethnic background is, to really get started down this this
Can
path.
Can I ask you, do you find that there's, like, some kind of relief in knowing where your family came from or some kind of symptomatic? It does something for us here
yes,
in the living
yes,
when
it
we
does.
Do this kind of work?
Yes, it does. There, in a lot of cases, there will be all kinds of healing that will go on internally. And in some cases, some of this healing will take place multiple generations down once you start to share some of this information. There are secrets that people have kept. And I don't know if you watch Oprah, but, you know, she made some very, very incredible comments when she was connected with her new half-sister, I guess about a week or so ago. It aired, where sometimes the truths are liberating. That's what she said. Yeah. And that's very, very true. So, you know, when you start to open up some of the family secrets and some of the skeletons that everybody's afraid of, actually what you're doing is liberating yourself and all those who come behind you. And those who came before you who have not really healed from some of these things. And it can be quite liberating. And Althea Gray, who is a dear friend of mine, she was on the show, and we were actually talking about this, where we can actually work with clients and do what they call lineage clearing, where we can actually build the tree and take the issues and
handed down dysfunction.
Exactly. And heal it and heal yourself. We all carry these things with us. I mean, my mother was adopted. My grandmother's father, she was told, committed suicide. So I have a major abandonment issue in my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've lived most of my life, but it isn't mine because I wasn't abandoned. So we have a lot of these things that we live with that don't belong to us, but they may belong to our ancestors. Once we identify where it comes from, we can also begin to realize it's not mine and I can let it go.
Yeah. That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I can't thank you enough for calling. I really can't.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. And keep in touch and let me know how you're getting along with the project.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I love this. And it is really kind of exciting to see people get excited about getting involved in research. I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell Julie and all of you out there, that I always claimed when I started 30-some-odd years ago on my genealogy, my personal genealogy, that it was going to take several lifetimes to complete. So it's never anything that comes to any end. Every new find becomes a new beginning, and that's almost like how we live our lives, very interestingly enough. In any event, as we stand, Angela Horan will be back with us next week. We're going to be doing some readings, and Angela's quite an exciting intuitive and psychic medium, and she and I work really well together along these lines. I'm not a medium myself, but I call myself an intuitive. So we have fun, and we hope you'll be back next week for the Susan and Angela show, I guess. And we will have guests the following week to be announced. We'll talk to you soon, Susan King. Thanks, Julie, for calling. We'll see you next week. Everybody stay warm.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.